Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program that is devoted to the fastest growing segment of our society, to those of you like me who know that there's something dreadfully wrong, even destructive, about religion and politics, media reporting, military invasions, and economic schemes. We realize that these institutions are part of the problem. Therefore, they are not part of the solution. So instead of merely presenting the news, our mission will be to understand what is causing these tragedies that are besieging our planet, while predicting how these events will influence our world if we do not stop them. And during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms, through evidence and reason, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides hope, the only reliable response in an exceedingly troubled world. Excuse me. Words, wisely wielded, provide the answer for everything that ails us, from economic ruin to terrorism, from religious hype to political hypocrisy. Our phone number for those who would like to participate in this discussion of a lifetime is toll free, 877-376-45. Yesterday, we began our program reporting news that I shared with you could be catastrophic in terms of its influence on our world. And I shared that it was catastrophic because of everything that it implies. And today, yesterday, the subsequent news is that I may well have been right. We learned that later on, the day before yesterday, that there was a chemical weapon attack on the outskirts of Damascus's city limits. These attacks occurred in three or four places, all suburbs of Damascus, two of which were within 3 to 4 miles of the presidential palace in Damascus, two of which were within a mile or two of the city limits of Damascus, the other two about 2 miles further away. And that the report from the rebels, who we know cannot be trusted, they have not only staged events in the past, they have actually committed acts of terrorism on civilians. They have used chemical weapons. As a matter of fact, the United Nations is in Syria now investigating a chemical weapon attack as well as a massacre, both of which were perpetrated by the Mujahideen that comprise the rebels. The rebels are based almost exclusively on fundamentalist, jihadist Muslims. And so within this context, we have a report that perhaps as many as 1,000, could be 1,500 people, women and children included, were gassed. Most likely sarin gas, although there are no reporters on the scene, and that when Muslims fight one another, the free press is the first casualty. But if it is true that the Assad government deployed sarin gas and killed over 1,000 people in one attack, then it's a game changer in terms of how the West will respond. And we'll speak about the consequences of that in a second. But one of the things I shared yesterday is that it is wholly irrational for Assad to have done so. Now, I'm not going to accuse Assad of being a moral person. He is one of the most ruthless and perverted dictators on the planet today. I will tell you that the rebels who oppose him are more ruthless and more immoral than he. But Assad is not stupid. The Assad government has won virtually every battle over the last almost 6 months in Syria. When Hezbollah engaged on his behalf, which was inevitable if the battle looked like it might tilt in favor of the Sunnis, since that time, the strongholds of the rebels have been dislodged from them one after another. The outcome has long since no longer been in question. We know who is going to prevail. And for the Assad government to throw all of that away at the moment where he is on the cusp of ridding his country of this civil war by using chemical and biological weapons is beyond stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Now, we do live in a world where those who are politically empowered love wars because it entrenches their power, it solidifies their power base, particularly politicians like Holliday, who is in France dealing with one disaster after another based upon his communist agenda in France, and Barack Hussein Obama, who is trying to recover from wiretapping the Associated Press because of political interests and intrigue revolving loyalties to him versus the Clintons, trying to turn the IRS into a weapon against his political foes with the Tea Party, with his deliberate and outright lies and misbehavior relative to the Benghazi attacks in Libya. He's on the ropes. You know, anyone who isn't comatose has recognized that he is a pathological liar. He needs to wag the tail. It's like Bill Clinton when it was obvious that he had used the Oval Office as if it was a brothel. And so he decided, why not let's get America involved in a war. That would be a good distraction. And he decided to bomb the Christian Serbs in Bosnia in support of the Muslims who had perpetrated genocide on them, killing over 800,000 of them during the last World War. So it is not beyond the French or the Americans to stage this kind of an event, to give their politicians the opportunity to engage in a war. But the consequence of this war, should France or the United States engage, would be vastly more devastating than was invading Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, invading Iraq and Afghanistan, I don't want to diminish how devastating those decisions were. Because over 10,000 American troops and 15,000 Americans overall were killed. We squandered $6 trillion of our treasury, bankrupting this country for the future of our children. And we made two very bad situations worse, empowering Iran to be in a position where this war began, where there was a conflict between Sunnis and Shias for power in the region. And we gave Iran the cover it needed and the opportunity it needed to complete its nuclear weapons program, bombs which will be used to kill Americans. At the same time, we pushed the most fundamentalist Muslims out of Afghanistan temporarily so that they could undermine the Pakistanis, whose military we support and who have nuclear weapons. So I don't want to understate the seriousness of our blunders in those areas. But if the United States and France do as they are talking in the UN now and engage militaristically in Syria as a result of this chemical attack, and who knows who perpetrated it, the consequences of that attack will be vastly more severe, more negative, more suicidal than the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan. It is a battle from which we will never recover. And I say that for a number of reasons. But the preeminent reason is that this is a battle that is a proxy war. It exists not only between Sunni and Shia Muslims, dragging France and America into a divide that can never be healed. It has existed for 1,300 years. It will continue to exist. There is no resolution of this divide. And you should never engage in lose-lose propositions. But more important than that, if you were to look at Europe as being a superpower and the United States as a declining but yet still superpower because of its vast military, and Russia and China as rising superpowers because of their economic might and resources, then this is World War III in the making. China and Russia will back not only Assad, but Iran, because that is where they have economic interests, because of the oil and gas in the Caspian Sea and their pipelines to those reserves. And the United States and Europe will back the fundamentalist Muslim jihadists. Now, mind you, in this battle of evils, the lesser of the two evils is Assad, and that's amazing that someone could be actually better than he can be better than his opponent, considering how evil he is. But it is nonetheless true. It's just like in Iraq. As bad as Saddam Hussein was, and he wasn't nearly as bad as Assad, Saddam Hussein's dictatorship over Iraq was vastly superior than what we did, which was to give Iraq to Iran. But if the French get their way, the Americans get their way, and we, now that we have seen this apparent crossing of the red line and that Europe and the United States engage militaristically, then you're going to have Russia and China on the opposite side. And that's a recipe for world nuclear war. The United Nations is coming under growing international pressure to act if the Syrian activist claims that the government has used chemical weapons in a horrific attack on civilians is confirmed. This according to CNN. The anti-regime activist groups in Syria say more than 1,300 people were killed in an attack outside of Damascus on Wednesday. Boy, to call murderers, to call rapists, to call kidnappers and thieves, to call those who tear the heart out of an opponent and eat it, those that behead Catholic priests because they tried to protect their nuns from being raped, activist groups. Boy, CNN... That, I've got to give you the cake for that one. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I want to preface our discussion here on the Syrian affair by saying that I do not think, and I certainly hope, that the West, particularly the UK, which was the big talker yesterday, France and the United States, which previously and currently are the big braggers in this regard, pretending to have the high moral ground. I certainly hope, and I do not expect this to boil up into World War III. I think we're going to have World War III, and I think it's going to be fought within 15 years. In fact, I'm certain that we're going to experience World War III within 15 years, and it is going to boil up in this region. Syria will be at the epicenter of it, as will Iran and Iraq, the unified Iran and Iraq, the Caucasus regions, including Afghanistan. Egypt, which is in such turmoil now, will also be part of it. And so we are absolutely going to see the United States in particular try to loot Israel by thinning the nation at the waist, reprising the failure of Neville Chamberlain in Czechoslovakia. And we're going to see that lead to world war, where Muslims are going to continue to be enraged and they are going to attack Israel in unison. That is their dream. And we are going to see Israel being essentially defenseless against that unified attack, because the United States in particular has so aided and abetted Israel's enemies over Israel, providing them with 24 times more weapons than we do Israel. And Europe is increasingly anti-Semitic and is overtly opposed, putting sanctions on the only sane country in the Middle East, showing their grotesque immorality. And it kind of bothers me that we're having the United States and France pretending, and Great Britain pretending to be holier than thou in this regard, when we are amongst the most immoral countries on earth. But I do not think that we're going to see a world war right now. Possible, but I think we are 15 years away from world war. So I think that something will happen here where cooler heads will prevail, but I want everyone to know how close we are right now to World War III based upon the rhetoric of Great Britain, the United States, and France. And the juxtaposition of forces with China and Russia on one side, Europe and the United States on the other, and with the proxy war being waged between Sunni and Shia Muslims, in essence putting the economic allies in bed with one another as it relates to oil. This is just right there on the cusp of catastrophic. And you have players in the UK and France and the United States that are all pounding their chest in this regard, where the presidents, prime ministers of those nations are desperate for a distraction, even if that distraction is devastating to life. So this is a serious affair that could very, very easily spill over into world war and a nuclear exchange. My hope is, my expectation is, that it will not. The reports from the United Nations was international outrage, with the UN Security Council briefing late Wednesday to discuss the situation. However, Russia and China, consistent allies of the Syrian government, reportedly blocked a formal resolution. Now, what's amazing here is we don't have enough information to make a decision. I can't tell you that this was perpetrated by Assad. I can tell you that it would be insane for Assad to do it. It's not rational. It's not reasonable. And the dictators don't get into positions of power over large militaries by being irrational. They can do it by being immoral, but they can't do it by being irrational. This is irrational. So I can tell you it is certainly possible, but it would be irrational. And it is certainly possible that the rebels, who as fundamentalist Muslims, are prone to fake attacks and blame the other side, which these guys have been masters at doing. And the rebels have attacked their own. They have raped their own. They have gassed their own. They have been amongst the most uncivilized barbarians that the world has ever witnessed. So for the United Nations to want to pass a resolution with absolutely no credible source of information, just based upon video, cell phone video, a peaceful gasping for air. And now, I'm not telling you that a chemical attack did not occur, but we're nowhere close to being able to determine who did what to whom or why. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. As we turn to the United Nations and their resolution with Russia and China being presented here as consistent allies of the Syrian government blocking the formal resolution, that's really not wholly accurate. Russia and China could care less about Syria. Syria doesn't mean anything to either Russia or to China. Iran means a lot to Russia and China. And the reason Iran means so much to Russia and China is because of the oil and gas reserves at the Caspian Sea that are landlocked, with exception of the ability of the Russians and the Chinese, both of whom had American firms, build multi-billion dollar pipelines to extract the oil and gas from that region. They sell that gas not only to fuel their own economic growth, but also Europe's. And so they aren't backing Syria. They could give two hoots about Syria. They're backing Iran. And then you've got Saudi Arabia and Qatar, which are the arms and mosque providers for the fundamentalist Islamic world, and therefore the spiritual and death merchants that we know through Islamic terrorism, fighting on behalf of the rebels. Now, there is one aspect of this that can make some sense from an Assad point of view, if in fact he killed 1,000 of his opponents through a chemical weapons attack. And that is that, by the way, and you look at chemical weapons, look at World War I, where Germany and France were up to their eyeballs in chemical weapons, as was Germany. You know, Europe doesn't have the high moral ground in this regard. But consider yourself head of a smallish country, and your neighbors decide that it would be a really fun idea for them to encourage foreign fighters by the tens of thousands to infiltrate your country across the border that you have with them, and that your neighbors decided that, you know, I think it would also be fun to arm those militants to the teeth and have those militants fight against your government. And then when you finally are able to suppress these foreign jihadists that have come into your country across the border, encouraged by your neighbors and armed by your neighbors, and you finally get the upper hand against them, one of your neighbors, the one who has inspired this whole uprising against you that has led to the deaths of 100,000 people, decides that they're now going to up the ante and provide your rebels with anti-tank and surface-to-air missiles. And it was in the days after the Saudi Arabians announced that they had done that and the rebels proved that they had them, that this attack occurred. It could well be, all right, if that's the way you're going to play the game, here's my response. Don't do that again. So if that is true, what would Assad's response be if the United States, France, and the UK decide that we want to bomb Syria? We know how he responded once. Do we need to test it again? Well, here's the news from the UN. After the closed-door meeting, the French foreign minister, Laurent Fabius, told CNN's affiliate, a reaction of force must be taken if the allegations are true. Now, they've already assumed that the allegations are true. That's why they went for the United Nations resolution. They have already assumed that liars on both sides were capable of presenting accurate information. And they say a reaction of force must be taken. They want military intervention. That's the French foreign minister. If the United Nations Security Council can't do it, decisions will be made otherwise, Fabius said. I said, okay. We don't need no stinking United Nations. No. We'll form our own axis of might, and we'll impose our will. We'll bomb them. But he said sending ground troops to Syria was out of the question. No, we don't need to send in ground troops. Let's just bomb them. You know, the distinction was ground troops. Let's bomb them. Yeah, you know, it was so disgustingly immoral and inappropriate for Assad to bomb and kill 1,000 people if he did so with chemical weapons, but it would be moral for us to respond by killing maybe tens of thousands with our bombs. Yeah, that'll show them. Kind of like our response in World War II. The Japanese killed 3,000 American servicemen and women, mainly because we were susceptible and made it easy, and our military was thought, our navy was thought to be a potential hindrance to their expansionist goals. But they attacked a military target and killed 3,000 military personnel. And the United States' response was to go sacrifice 300,000 more military personnel to avenge the death of 3,000 and kill millions of Japanese, bombing their cities night after night, killing women and children. Yep. We'll show them. The same mentality here. We haven't grown very far morally, have we? Speaking on a visit to Berlin, a Turkish foreign minister, Ahmet Davutoğlu, called on the United Nations to act decisively. Turkey's semi-official news agency, that means that the free press is gone in Turkey, that Erdogan has made it sure that no one can say anything against his Islamic government. Yeah, he wants decisive action too, because guess what? If the West were to bomb Syria into submission, Turkey would annex it. Erdogan wants to reestablish the Ottoman Empire. The Turkish prime minister said, not prime minister, but the Turkish foreign minister said, all red lines have been crossed. Now he's bringing the United States into this because Obama said if they use chemical weapons, that would be a red line and we would engage. There's nothing Obama would love more than to commit the United States to fighting on the side of fundamentalist Sunni Muslims. He would love to be the great general working, committing Americans to fight right alongside of his fellow Muslims. All red lines have been crossed without the United Nations taking action in Syria. Action. We're not talking about saying, boy, boy, that was bad, bad. No, action. They want military intervention, which means bombing runs. It cannot assume that an undecisive attitude about chemical weapon attacks there is acceptable. If the Syrian regime is confident enough, it should allow the United Nations team to investigate these claims immediately. The Syrian government already has allowed the United Nations to investigate chemical attacks. In fact, there were investigators there at the time of the attack because the last chemical attack had been perpetrated by the rebels. They're there already. You know, the Turkish government doesn't have much credibility. 3 or 4 days ago, Erdogan shot off his lips and was saying that he had documents to prove that the military coup that replaced his beloved Muslim Brotherhood's desire to turn Egypt into a theocracy, that military coup was done at the behest of Israel, and that Israel was to blame for the military coup. Now, mind you, the Egyptian military exists for one reason, to demonstrate to the Egyptian people that at some time in the future that they can wipe Israel off the map. And the military garners favor in Egypt because of its hostility to Israel. It's the most popular institution in Egypt and has been for decades for a singular reason. And that is 90% of the population in Egypt despises Israel. Now, 99% despises America. But it is the military's aversion to Israel that has garnered them power. For Erdogan to say that Israel, it was the catalyst behind, the reason behind, the means behind the military coup in Egypt, just shows you how little credibility the man has and how unbelievably stupid his audience is. He's playing to the ignorance of Muslims. You know, when 9/11 happened, Muslims blamed Israel. When any tragedy happens in the Islamic world, even if it's a tragedy that they themselves have caused, as in the case of Syria, Muslims always blame Israel. As the calamity that they created in Egypt was of their own making, no, we need to blame Israel. Erdogan did. This is the man whom we should listen to now regarding how to respond in Syria. The German foreign minister, Guido Westerwelle, said that the reports from Syria are serious, and should they be confirmed, they are outrageous, said the man representing the government that pummeled Poland into submission for no reason at all, that killed 12 million innocent people in concentration camps, working them to death or gassing them to death. You know, when you lose the high moral ground, you ought not try to claim it. Guido, he demanded a prompt explanation of the reported chemical weapons use and also called for the United Nations chemical weapons team to be allowed access. I regret that Russia and China have blocked a formal resolution of the Security Council, the German reported. Absolutely tragic what we have become in terms of our reaction to situations without addressing the consequence of our statements, without assessing the background for the calamities that we are reviewing. Having lost the high moral ground, we ought to back away from such things. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Moving from the serious to the sublime, Bradley Manning, PFC, who released the documents that were used by WikiLeaks, telling us about the malfeasance of our government, letting us know that our government knew 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and actually had a paper that circulated the Defense Department and the administration that said that the Afghani war could not be won, and therefore that America should be looking for a way out. That was before so many more Americans were killed. Bradley Manning really isn't Bradley Manning after all. No, she is Chelsea Manning. Yep, she wants to be Chelsea Manning, that she is a cross-dresser, loves to put up the lipstick and the hair and curlers, and makes a very pretty girl. My guess is that, well, I think that the release of the documents published by WikiLeaks showing the malfeasance and the grotesque immorality of the American government, and actually the British government was implicated here too, was a very appropriate thing to do and a heroic thing to do. Chelsea Manning is going to have a swell old time over the next 30 years as a girl in a man's prison. Turning to another item in the news, we find that Mubarak is going to be released from prison now that the military is back in charge. We have Mubarak being released, so why not simply make him dictator all over again, and let's just forget this whole exercise in democracy. This is such a mess, you know, for Americans that are willing to commit the lives of Americans to go fight for democracy in foreign lands. Every place that we have tried to impose democracy, it has blown up in our faces. You know, if you look at Afghanistan, a democratically elected government has brought about probably the single most corrupt government on earth today in the Karzai regime. And in the conditions that we were hoping to achieve, which was to benefit the oppressed minority there as a result of Islam, little girls and women, the fate of women in Afghanistan since our invasion has been vastly worse. And so democracy has brought a bad thing to Afghanistan. It also pushed the fundamentalist Muslims into Pakistan, where the United States is responsible for their military, and they have nuclear bombs. So that was pretty stupid, counterproductive in terms of imposing democracy. And 15 minutes after we're gone, it will return right back to the control of the Taliban. With Iraq, we imposed a democracy there too, and they promptly voted to give Iraq to Iran so that Iran could complete its nuclear ambitions and that so that Iran can insert its influence across the Middle East, thereby being the catalyst that caused this tragic war in Syria. Now, imposing democracy didn't really work out there either. So the United States was all gleeful when democracy was full in bloom in Egypt. And they voted 65-70% for the most fundamentalist Islamic regime, and they elected the Muslim Brotherhood. And then the Muslim Brotherhood simply did as they have professed to do. They were consistent with their theology, and they imposed Sharia law and created an Islamic theocracy out of Egypt. And then the military coup occurs, and the United States doesn't know which side to take. Obama wants them to return to the democratically elected government, which means to return to the Muslim Brotherhood. Old McCain now sides with the Muslim Brotherhood and wants the coup leaders to return the government back to the Muslim Brotherhood. Yes, we're for democracy, even if democracy brings about the most evil of all potential results. And then you have people on the other side, the Copt Christians, saying, you know, the military coup is at least mitigating the Muslim Brotherhood's assault on us. You know, there have been 75 churches and other Christian facilities that have been burned down since the military coup, since the Muslim Brotherhood had to lash out at someone for their failures, and they chose the Copt Christians. We have created messes around the world, and because of our unwillingness to study, to learn, to exercise good judgment, we seem to be on the wrong side of most every calamity, making bad situations worse, as is often the case for those who act out and lash out ignorantly and enraged. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the news and commercial break.